Hi, you are listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the School of Business, Management and Economics at the University of Sussex in the UK. This is a summary of episode 33. My name is Miranda Lewis and I am broadcasting from Udine in Italy. This episode opens the fourth season of our podcast. In this season, we go back to the more canonic and older text in management and organization theory. The text of this episode is entitled The Foreman, Master and Victim of Double Talk. It was written by Fritz J. Röstlingsberger and published in Harvard Business Review in 1945. This text is considered to be a classic and has been republished in HBR a number of times. Röstlingsberger is an important scholar associated to the Hawthorne studies, which we already discussed before in the podcast in episode 9. He was therefore someone who was concerned with understanding social relations in the workplace and how these influence traditional management issues such as productivity and worker satisfaction. The text is a long essay on the struggles of those who occupy the role of the foreman, a role which today we would associate to a supervisor or to a middle manager. The analysis is based on a research conducted by the author in industrial organizations in the early mid part of the last century in the US. In the text, the author explores the challenges that the foremen navigate when they have to communicate demands from management to the workers, being sensitive to the needs of the workers in order to motivate them. The nature of the work context, which is described, is typical of a Tayloristic organization. And in this way, the struggles which the foremen face are associated to the characteristics of this kind of system. As most texts that we explore in the podcast, despite its historic nature, there are strong parallels with current phenomena. In the episode, we discussed how the context which is described is very similar to today's workplace. Post-World War II, there was an influx of new workers in the industry, and today we have a similar change of generations in the workplace as baby boomers' generation are retiring. Also, the theoretical issues which are raised are actually a challenge still today, such as the role of compensation in the workplace and how sometimes management is blind to emerging informal dynamics. One of the key aspects we discussed about the text is the extent to which it explores the challenges that a Tayloristic system produces, which, as we might imagine, Taylor himself seldom addresses. More specifically, the author examines how, in the change from a craft to a scientific management organization, the role of the foreman becomes even more delicate, because he is devoided from the control of a number of work aspects which are externalized to experts, such as planning, and his work becomes only one of ensuring compliance. So, from being a leader of workers, the foreman is expected to pledge allegiance to superiors and to accomplish his work without much leeway. Röstlingsberger tries to capture this issue and these dynamics with the concept of double talk. This does not seem to mean to be truthful or not, as the expression might suggest, but rather being able to navigate the interface in which the foreman is placed, between labour and management, between ensuring compliance but also motivating workers, which leads to different types of conversations and compromises. As we discussed, the notion of double talk is close to the idea of double bind. As some podcasters commented based on their work experience, when a middle manager just says to those below her or him that something ought to be done because the bosses say so, it generates many tensions. This is very close to what we would describe today as a typical problem of leadership. Just passing on information makes a manager just a mouthpiece. Being a leader takes much more, however. Issuing orders is not a guarantee that they will be followed appropriately. Managers usually need to enlist the cooperation of workers in the process. Besides the challenge of conveying information top-down, the foreman also faces challenges when interacting with superiors. That is, when information goes up in the hierarchy, The foreman is expected to convey what is really happening on the floor. At the root of this problem is the fact that organizations do not operate like machines, differently from the Tayloristic view, a theme which we explored in many episodes in the podcast. That is, for scientific management and associated approaches, there is the idea that information and orders are processed smoothly. Yet the process is much more complicated when we observe how it unfolds in organizations. This is why Leslie Berger and those in the human relations schools are interested in the information and social aspects of management and organization. To create cooperation from workers, the foreman needs to leverage and nurture social relations and cohesion. To relate well with superiors, he needs to be able to trust them. Interestingly, this awareness of social relations has fueled subsequent scholarship, especially after the 80s. Today, management has evolved in that direction, and we know how culture is important, and many approaches do not ignore but capitalize relations, such as lean management and approaches linked to knowledge management. These are all ways of nurturing and channeling social dynamics, exploiting feelings, attachment, emotions, which are tapped upon according to some organizational goals. Another interesting aspect of the text we discussed is that it has both issues related to industrial relations and management. Today, in current scholarship, these are two separate streams of research. Some people look at the work and organizational processes, and others at employment. Yet, in this text, the author shows a cybernetic approach which examines both sides of the matter, both the relations within the organizations with the unions and the influence that the workers are able to have on organizational goals and the foreman. In relation to this, we also discussed how the text connects with the overall theme of worker participation and collaboration in organizations. This is in part because the foreman is the one who needs to put in touch to connect many sides of the organization, especially the executive suite and the shop floor, so to speak. Yet this is far from an automatic and easy process. As some podcasters commented, we have all witnessed situations in organizations in which senior management might push for some products or changes which are actually not feasible due to the nature of the work on the floor. This is particularly true in complex technological organizations in which the work is so specialized that it is hard to understand what are the constraints of the work process, which require people to continually exchange information, to include people from all levels to review issues and so on. In this situation, the foreman is called upon to be a connector, a conduit, as some podcasters put it, to facilitate interactions, to bring people together in order to make work processes possible. The problem, however, is that it is not always clear for the foreman or workers in general. It is not clear who needs to be in a meeting and who needs to be in touch regarding a given issue. This usually comes from experience, and it is also suggested that the foreman needs some good awareness of the organization and the overall work process, an issue that Taylor and Taylorism were unaware of. But we return to this issue later. We also discussed that the text speaks of the issue of fostering workers' motivation and generally of worker empowerment. As we know, specialization and dividing work up creates a number of problems in the workplace, including a sense of alienation. In particular, the way a Tayloristic system is structured. It assumes that work is accomplished on an individual basis when actually we know that social relations and a general occupational structure still endure. This is indeed at the root of some work processes associated to Toyota, which in a way have revolutionized industrial organization and management in general, as they insist on the importance of giving voice to workers and nurturing relations. The problem is that these techniques are usually translated, but the overall commitment to make work more participative does not usually follow. Interestingly, the author, already in this early text, cautions of the problems of focusing only on techniques when what is actually needed is a reform of the way things are organized. Indeed, after considering the challenges of the foreman position and the ways which it connects to broader organization issues, Röstlisberger proposes, as the role of the administration, which seems to be a possible solution or update to the one of the foreman. That is, he proposes that a new system of organization of work requires a new function. The traditional craft-based foreman position is no longer fitting, as the goal is no longer to work by experience in leading workers. Rather, it needs to become a professional manager-supervisor role. The author then proposes how such roles ought to be structured in order to address some of the issues he raised. In this, he insists that the administrator ought to be attentive to social forces. That is, the administrator needs to understand not only the tasks, but also the situation in which the tasks take place. In other words, having some contextual awareness. The administrator needs to understand the interdependence of tasks, the organizational environment, and so on. He then creates a list of matters to be considered, among which we highlight a greater awareness of the organization, both formally and informally, and an attention for communication, listening skills, and the ability to build common ground or a common language. With this, the role of the foreman, now understood as an administrator, distances itself from the typical Tayloristic one, which is expected to be an enforcer of goals and controller of tasks, to one of a fully fledged leader, attentive to the work process and the organization in general. Interestingly, management scholars like Deeming hint at the fact that the role of leaders is to help people understand where they do fit. In a way, we might say that the analysis of Röstlisberger shows the shortcomings of Taylorism at a systemic level. While many authors have shown the problems it creates for workers on the shop floor, alienation and so on, here the author shows that it creates a double bind. A foreman needs to nurture relations and gain a contextual awareness, but does not have the autonomy, leeway, and relation of skills for this. Against this untenable position, Röstlisberger shows that the foreman and managers in general need to have the ability to be aware of social relations. And that is all on episode 33 on The Foreman, Master and Victim of Double Talk by Fritz J. Röstlisberger. I hope you enjoyed the summary and found it valuable. We will be glad to hear from you via social media or email about your impressions of the summary and the podcast in general. Also, remember that we now have a newsletter, which you can subscribe to on our webpage. In the next episode, we will discuss the work by Tristan Bomhoff, entitled Some Social and Psychological Consequences of the Longwall Method of Call Getting. Thank you for listening.